making God moments. Making God moments. Colossians chapter 4. While you find your way there, just want to let all of our moms and dads know, next Sunday, we're going to have, at 9 and 11, we're going to have a family worship service. Our younger kids will be out, the toddlers and preschool kids will be out for kinder church and for nursery, but from elementary on up, elementary, junior high, senior high, we're all going to be together here in the sanctuary. We're going to have something for everybody in the family next Sunday morning, and my wife Denise is going to be preaching next Sunday, so you're going to have a great, you're going to find out who the real preacher in the family is. So, see, Denise preaches to me 6 days a week, and then I preach to you. No, you're going to find out. Denise is a wonderful preacher. You're going to enjoy her. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, beginning in verse 2, making God moments. Making God moments. Colossians 4, verse 2. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you might know how to answer everyone. I want to talk to you about making God moments. Will you pray? And let's invite the Holy Spirit to speak. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the people you love so much and for your powerful word. Father, I pray that every one of us would encounter you as we receive the word of God. If your heart agrees, would you say amen and amen? Thomas Edison was one of the most prolific inventors ever in American history. For almost 100 years, he held the record for the most number of patents filed by one person. He had 1,093 different patents. Just looking around the room, our worship experience this morning is greatly enhanced by many of Edison's inventions. We have electricity in the house this morning because Edison invented the distribution system for electricity and started the first power company. That is also why we have an electric bill this morning. Edison invented microphones, so you can hear me. He invented the mimeograph, so you have a copy in your hand of the sermon outline this morning. He invented the movie camera. We have a lot of people worshiping with us via live stream this morning. You see that camera right up there on the wall? Everybody turn and just give a little wave to the folks watching on live stream. You can watch us this morning because Edison invented the movie camera. He invented the phonograph. That's why we're able to record the service this morning. He invented the stock ticker, so you can make a large donation in stock to our building fund, and you can know exactly how much that is if you look at the stock ticker. He invented the X-ray. He invented the tattoo gun, a device which some of you have greatly availed yourselves of. But while Edison was working on the electric light bulb, he searched extensively for a filament that would be both durable and affordable. He was looking for a way to make light bulbs accessible to everybody. After he had tried about 2,000 different materials, his assistant was discouraged. He complained to Edison. He said, "All our work is in vain. We have learned nothing." Undeterred, Edison replied, "Oh, we've come a long way and we've learned a lot. We now know that there are 2,000 elements which we cannot use to make a good light bulb." As it turns out, Edison and his assistant were only a third of the way through their journey. In the end, they would test over 6,000 different elements before they came up with the one that worked. By the way, the longest lasting light bulb on record burned for 109 years. I wish I could get my hands on that light bulb. My favorite Edison quote is this: opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and it looks like work. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and it looks like work. You know, I think the Apostle Paul would have agreed with Edison. Writing from a Roman prison cell, Paul encouraged the young Christians in the Turkish city of Colossae, be prepared to make the most of every opportunity. That word opportunity is the Greek word kairos, and it means a God moment. It's a special occasion when God breaks into human history, when God shows up in the room and makes himself very real to someone. It's a moment when humanity encounters divinity and we are never the same again. In the book of Acts, an Italian soldier was praying to the Jewish God when he had a God moment. God showed up in the room and changed Cornelius' life forever. He told Cornelius where he could find the Apostle Peter. When Peter came back to the house, all of Cornelius' friends and family had a God moment. A successful Greek businesswoman was praying to the Jewish God on a riverbank one Saturday afternoon. The Apostle Paul stumbled across her as she was praying, and a God moment occurred. God made himself very real to Lydia, and she believed on Jesus. And then her whole family experienced a God moment, and then many, many people in her city. Writing to the young Christians in Colossae, Paul says, God wants to send more opportunities like that. God wants to send more kairos moments. He wants to send more God moments to more people. God wants to break into the lives of more men and women. He wants to touch more Italians. He wants to touch more Greeks. He wants to touch more people of every ethnicity. God wants to rock the world of more soldiers, of more business people, of more people of every occupation and trade and profession. God wants to show up in more living rooms. He wants to show up on more Saturday afternoon strolls. And Paul is telling us, be prepared, be ready to be used by God in those God moments. In fact, Paul tells us, partner with God to help bring about those God moments for others. This summer, we've been reading Paul's letter to the Colossians. Summer is quickly drawing to a close, and so is this little letter. But this morning we want to share one big thought with you that perhaps you can think about during the week. Beloved, God moments that happen suddenly are really the result of a careful process of preparation. And God wants us to partner with him in order to bring about those God moments for others. Everybody look at me. Look, 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 look. God wants us to partner with him to bring about God moments for other people. Looking at Paul's words in Colossians 4, I see four ways that God moments are made, and I want to share about them with you quickly. Four ways that God moments are made. First of all, God moments are made in your prayer closet. We printed an outline for you on the mimeograph that Edison invented. We don't have that. We have a photocopier now. we could lease a Mercedes for what we pay a month for that photocopier. But we printed an outline for you, and you can fill in the blanks and you can follow along. God moments are made in your prayer closet. Paul was in prison in Rome, chained 24/7 to a palace guard, awaiting trial on capital charges in front of the infamous Emperor Nero. It's not surprising to learn that he was earnestly praying. We would pray too. What is surprising is what Paul prayed for. Paul was not praying for deliverance. He was not praying for the charges against him to be dropped. He wasn't praying for an advocate to come to his defense. He wasn't praying for an acquittal. He wasn't even praying for protection or provision in prison. You know, in Rome, there was no meal plan for prisoners. There was no prison cafeteria. Either people brought you food and clothing and blankets and medicine that you needed from the outside, or you died. But rather than praying for any of those things, Paul was praying for more open doors to share the gospel. He was praying into future Kairos moments. He was praying for future God moments for other people. He was praying, Lord, give me more Corneliuses. Give me more Lydias. He was praying for more governors and public officials to encounter Jesus. He was praying for more doctors, for more prison wardens. He was praying for more adherents to other religions to have a life-changing encounter with the Jewish God and Messiah, Jesus. Here's what we learn from Paul's prayer for open doors. The suddenlies of God are really not so sudden. Oh, sure, when the God moment finally arrives, it comes quickly. It comes in a whoosh. It comes unexpectedly to people. But what we find is that his suddenlies are really not all that sudden. Leading up to that God moment was someone who spent a whole lot of time in a prayer closet. A great example in the Old Testament is Nehemiah, the Jewish prisoner of war in Persia. Nehemiah was serving in the royal palace. He was the cupbearer to the Persian king. Distressing news came about the condition of Jerusalem. The walls were broken down. The gates were burned up with fire. The people were completely vulnerable to their enemies. They were living in fear. Nehemiah started fasting and praying. The Bible gives us the timeline. For 4 months, he fasted and he prayed. Finally, a God moment came. The king noticed one day something wasn't right with Nehemiah. The king said, "Sup with you, nay, you're a little off today." Nehemiah told the king about his burden for Jerusalem, and the king said, "How can I help?" Now, here's what I want you to recall with me. Nehemiah was totally prepared to seize the God moment. He said, "Well, king, since you asked, I need 6 months paid leave. I need letters to the governor so that I can pass through. I need a requisition letter to Asaph so I can have lumber to rebuild the gates. And I'd like to build a little place for myself, you know, something a little bit modest. And I need you to send an elite cavalry with me to make sure I'm safe." And the king said, "Done." It was an astonishing God moment. But here's the point. Months of prayerful planning and preparation went into a God moment that came very suddenly. And beloved, the same is true for us. Listen, somebody, listen and hear a word from the Lord for your life today. The same thing is true for us. The God moments that come on suddenly are really not sudden at all. They're made in a prayer closet months and sometimes years before they occur. Last Sunday, I shared a burden on my heart with you. since lots of people are coming and going on vacation right now, forgive me for repeating myself for those who might have been away. We built this building in response to a prophetic promise that the Lord made to our founding pastor in 1983. God told Pastor Tate, there is a harvest ready here in Greenwich. That's why we're called Harvest Time Church. God told Pastor Tate we'd grow to be a congregation bigger than 1,000 people. We've already done that. Now we've built the physical barn. But there's one portion of the prophecy that we haven't yet fulfilled, and I'm hungry to see it come about. We haven't yet received that harvest specifically from Greenwich. As we prepare to officially open our doors to the public on September 21st, 22nd, 23rd, would you join us in earnestly praying that God would give us open doors to share the gospel with people? Would you begin to pray for Kairos opportunities? Would you begin to pray for future God moments for other people? Would you begin to pray that God would direct a Cornelius to your doorstep, someone who's searching to know God, that they would pursue a conversation with you and that you'd be ready to lead them into their God moment? Would you begin to pray that God would direct you into the path of a Lydia, that you would meet someone and discern this is the right moment, this is the right time to share Jesus with her? It's time to open the physical doors of this building, but even more than that, we need open doors to share Jesus with people. So let's get in our prayer closets and let's make some God moments come about. Four ways that God moments are made from Colossians 4. Number one, God moments are made in your prayer closet. Number two, God moments are made through your Christian convictions. God moments are made through your Christian convictions. That there are a pair of words in Colossians 4 verse 2 that's just full of irony. Paul says, pray for open doors while I'm in chains. Open doors, chains. Pray for open doors while I'm in chains. Paul's facing the death penalty for preaching the gospel, and he's praying for more opportunities to do the very thing that might just get him executed. In fact, we know from the book of Acts and from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the whole time that Paul was awaiting trial for preaching the gospel, he was preaching the gospel. And look who he was preaching to. The elite palace guard and members of Caesar's own household. You know, when people are arrested in the United States, they're read the Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent. My son came home from third grade one day, and they were telling him about, I don't know, about kids' rights and you know, calling the state. And my son came home and he said, Dad, I have rights. And I looked at him and I said, you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. In Roman prison, Paul waived his Miranda rights. Paul was further jeopardizing himself. He was potentially incriminating himself in front of people that would make very credible witnesses for the prosecution. He was risking offending an entire group of guards who could make prison a living hell for him. Why did Paul do it? Why did he risk it? It's because Paul was convinced that eternal salvation is far more important than temporary earthly suffering. Paul was convinced that heaven and hell are real. He was convinced that one day we must all stand before God one by one and give an account of ourselves. And he was convinced that the only way to prepare for that moment was to believe on Jesus and to receive the forgiveness that Christ purchased for us all on his cross. Paul was convinced that his message could and would make a difference as to where people spend eternity. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see, it was Paul's convictions that pushed him to pursue God moments for others. He was willing to give up earthly comfort. He was willing to endure difficult circumstances. He was willing to risk negative consequences in order to lead people into life-changing, life-giving God moments. Beloved, our convictions will push us to pursue God moments for others too. I know my family thinks I've lost my mind. I know they're hoping that this God thing is just a phase with me and that it'll pass. I know they've told me they don't want to hear about my religion. I know they've told me that they don't want to hear about my church. But God, please open a door and give me the courage to go through it. I don't want to get on the bad side of my neighbors. I don't want to start any trouble. I don't want them to think I'm a Jesus freak. But God, I have to tell them, please open a door and give me the courage to go through it. I know it's risky to say anything about my faith at work. I know I could get in hot water with HR, but I have to tell them, God, please open a door and give me the courage to go through it. A couple weeks ago, I was up a little later in the evening studying for my sermon. Every night that I'm home, I usually study from about 8 to midnight every night, getting ready to preach on the weekends. About 11:30, some fire trucks came screaming down King Street. Following the fire trucks, there were police cars and ambulances, and then there were more fire trucks and more police cars and more ambulances. The response was so huge, I thought, man, there must have been a really bad accident out on 684. The next day, Denise took our dog, Jack, for a walk, and she was horrified to see the home of one of our neighbors and a good friend burned to the ground. A single mom and her daughter. Their daughter has been in school with our Lolly ever since kindergarten. Lolly has shared lots of play dates, lots of parties. We've carpooled lots of time with them. And I felt so badly that it was our friend's house that was burning while I sat there in my chair and didn't move. I could have offered some comfort. I could have gone to pray just to stand with them. We could have offered them shelter. Immediately, Denise texted our friends, and we were so relieved to find out that they had moved out of that house exactly 1 week before the fire. The house was completely empty. All their belongings were moved out. They were safe. It was a very old house, very quaint, very cute. But the mom told Denise that the wiring was terrible, old electrical wiring. She said when they would throw light switches, they would spark. But I have to wonder, what would I have done differently that night if I had known that it was our friend's house on fire? And how would I feel if, God forbid, that there had been a loss of precious property, memories that can't be reclaimed, or even, God forbid, a loss of life, and I just sat there with my Bible open on my lap, and I did nothing? We once bought a house that had terrible old wiring like that house. For the safety of our family, we replaced all the wiring. If I had known their wiring was bad, I would have advised them to do the same. What would they have done differently if they had known the imminent danger they were in all the years they rented that house? Beloved, everybody look at me, please, for one moment. The people that God has placed in our lives, our family members, our friends, our neighbors, the people that we work beside for years, acquaintances that we have, if they don't know Jesus, if they haven't entered into a relationship with Him by faith, then they are living right now in a very old house with really bad wiring. They're living every day in imminent danger. And it's more than just property they stand to lose. Heaven and hell are real. Jesus, our Master, said so. And if we truly believe that, then we can't simply sit around in our club chairs with our Bibles open on our lap and do nothing anymore. We have to pray up. Then we have to get up and we have to speak up and we have to point up to Jesus. Let's save as many people as we can from danger. Four ways that God moments are made. First of all, they're made in your prayer closet. Secondly, they're made through your Christian convictions. Thirdly, God moments are made through your Christian character. God moments are made through your Christian character. Along with prayers and convictions, a third component to Paul's God moments was his character. Paul was in prison. Listen, there's a word from the Holy Spirit for somebody this morning. Paul was in prison, but he refused to be a prisoner to his circumstances. That there were many things Paul longed to do that he could not do. He longed to visit his churches and sort out some messes that needed to be sorted. He couldn't go visit them. He couldn't travel westward to Spain with the gospel, which was his burning desire. He couldn't do any of those things, but Paul did do what he could do. Rather than visiting churches, he wrote them letters. Do you realize if Paul had never been in prison, we would not have 2/3 of the New Testament? Not only did Paul write his letters from prison, but Luke wrote his gospel and the book of Acts, which make up together 1/3 of the New Testament. Luke wrote those while he was waiting around for Paul to get out of prison. Paul did what he could do. He couldn't visit, but he could write. He couldn't preach to Spaniards, so he preached to Italians instead. And we need to develop that same kind of Christian character. No matter what difficult circumstances we're facing, no matter what limitations are upon us, we need to keep looking for open doors to lead others into God moments. Oh, but Lord, you don't know. I have so many messes in my life. My marriage is a mess right now. My kids are a mess right now. I have messy situations with friendships. I have all this stress at work. I have so much on my plate raising my kids. Lord, I can't lead anybody into a God moment. Let me give you 4 encouraging words from the example of Paul the prisoner. First of all, regardless of your circumstances, refuse to be a prisoner to fear. Refuse. Paul refused to quit sharing the gospel in prison, though it could have cost him his life, and eventually it did. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid of those who can only kill the body." Rather, he said, "Live in reverence to the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell." That's God. Don't fear men, fear God. Hebrews says, God has promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Therefore, we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I refuse to live in fear. What can mere men do to me? Don't allow fear to stop you from sharing Christ with others. Another thing, regardless of your circumstances, refuse to be a prisoner to self-pity. Paul did not feel sorry for himself. From prison, he wrote to his friends, the Philippians, the letter to the Philippians. We looked at it last year. It's the letter of joy. And Paul wrote, I want you to know that everything that has happened to me has only served to advance the gospel. He wasn't wallowing in self-pity. Instead, he wrote, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That doesn't mean I can do any old thing I set my mind on. It means wherever God's plan and his will leads me, I can do that. Even if it's in a Roman dungeon, yeah, I can do that. Regardless of your circumstances, refuse to be a prisoner to bitterness. The very last picture that we have of Paul in the book of Acts in chapter 28, Paul is vigorously preaching the gospel to those who are his captors. He's vigorously preaching the gospel to his own Jewish people who were responsible for his imprisonment in the first place. Paul refused to give in to bitterness. He wrote to the Corinthians, I have found something far more compelling than bitterness, and that is the love of God that I've received in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Regardless of your circumstances, refuse to be a prisoner. Instead, be someone who leaks grace. Paul says in verse 6 that our conversation with unbelievers should always be full of grace. Grace is an extension of kindness that we do not deserve. Grace overlooks rudeness. Grace is optimistic. Grace is hopeful. Grace is always redemptive. One of my favorite writers, Kent Hughes, made this observation. He said, in order for our mouth to be full of grace, our heart must be full of grace. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, when grace is in your heart, every time your mouth opens up, grace leaks out. If the love of God is in your heart, when you open your mouth, love will leak out. If the mercy of God is in your heart, when you open your mouth, mercy will leak out. If the kindness of God is in your heart, when you open your mouth, kindness will leak out. This last year, we laid one of our precious, precious sisters, Patty Mund, to rest. This is Patty's picture. I still remember the first day. You know that I remember vividly, most of you, I remember the first day that I met you. Really, I do. I remember Mary Martinez. I remember Mendez. I remember the first day I met you. Miss Sarah, I remember the first day I met you. Dom, I remember the first day I met you. First day I met Patty, she said to me, Pastor, I'm a walking miracle. And it was absolutely true. She battled a long-term illness, and she was on the brink of death so many times. It befuddled the doctors how she was alive and even thriving. But she was frequently admitted to the hospital in terrible pain. But you want to talk about a woman with an indomitable spirit. Every time she was in the hospital, Patty would say to me, the Lord sent me here because there's someone I'm supposed to talk to. And sure enough, every time Patty was in the hospital, there was a fellow patient or a family member of a fellow patient or a nurse or a technician or a volunteer or a doctor or a someone that she would pray with to receive Jesus. Right up until the very end of her life, every time she was in the hospital, she regarded herself as on a mission from the Lord. And I want to tell you, that was Paul's attitude in prison, and it needs to be our attitude as well. So I was praying last night. I really felt from the Holy Spirit that there is somebody who needs to receive this word this morning, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of who has hurt you or disappointed you or betrayed you, regardless of the mess that you feel that you're stuck in right now, regardless of the limitations on you that are uncomfortable, refuse to be a prisoner of fear or of self-pity or of bitterness. Instead, be someone who leaks grace. Four ways that God moments are made. How am I doing this morning? Am I doing okay? You doing all right this morning? It's Labor Day. I got one more point, and then we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And then you can go on to your picnic. But listen to this last point. Four ways God moments are made. Worship team, you can come help me. God moments are made in your prayer closet. God moments are made by your convictions. They're made by your character. And finally, God moments are made in your preparations for good conversations. God moments are made in your preparations for good conversations. Paul says, let your speech always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. How many of you have ever read those words and wondered what exactly they mean? I remember those words from, I'm going to turn 52 on Saturday. I remember those words from when I was 8 years old, full of grace, seasoned with salt. I gotta confess to you, I went through 9 years of schooling. It was only this last week that I found out what that actually means. How many of you ever wondered, what does that mean, seasoned with salt? What does that mean? I'm going to tell you what it means next week. But let me say this much. Paul says it's not just enough for us to pray for open doors. When God opens a door, we have to be prepared to recognize it. We have to be prepared to seize that opportunity. We have to be ready to have the conversation that will lead people into their God moment. Cornelius' family and friends were led into their God moment because Peter was ready to have the conversation with them. Lydia and her family and her friends were led into a God moment because Paul was ready to have the conversation with them. And Paul is telling us we have to anticipate that the opportunity will come for conversation with unbelievers. We have to be ready to recognize that opportunity and to seize that opportunity and have the conversation that will lead people into eternal life through faith in Jesus. The next time we're together, I'm going to talk to you specifically about how we have those conversations, and I'll tell you what seasoned with salt means, if you're wondering. Making God moments for others. The suddenlies of God are really not all that sudden. God moments are made in your prayer closet. They're made by your convictions. They're made by your character, and they're made by your preparations to have good conversations. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place this morning? Oh, come on, let's give him a good praise. In just one moment for our final act of worship, we're going to share at the Lord's table. We're going to have communion together. I'm going to ask those that are serving us if you get ready in the back. But I want us to just worship the Lord for one moment and pray just before we receive communion. We were singing during worship, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Let's welcome him. Would you sing it with us? Thank you. Give the Lord a good praise this morning. Would you bow your heads with me for just one moment? In just a moment for our final act of worship, we're going to share at the Lord's table. But you know, the Bible says to make the most of every opportunity. And I wonder if maybe for someone here this morning, I wonder if perhaps today is your God moment. I wonder if perhaps today is the day for God to break into your living room, for God to break into your life and to change everything. It all begins with a moment of believing on Jesus. There's a little spark of faith in your heart. You didn't come up with it on your own. God put it there. He's giving you the ability to believe. Excuse me. And the way we respond is by praying a prayer of believing. I wonder, while heads are bowed all over this place, I wonder if there's someone here today and you'd like to respond to that God moment by praying a prayer of believing on Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Just standing right where you are, I'm going to ask you to say a prayer with me, to repeat a prayer after me. Wonder if someone here, while heads are bowed, would you like to pray that prayer of believing with me today? If you haven't entered into a relationship with Jesus by believing on Him, you're living in a very old house with very bad wiring. It's time to receive Jesus. While heads are bowed, if you'd like to pray that prayer with me, would you just lift your hand real high wherever you are in your seat? Come on, there's one, there's two. Is there another? Would you like to pray that prayer with me? Would you lift your hand high? There's another, so I can see it. There's another. Someone else like to pray that prayer believing with me? There's another. Someone else like to pray that prayer believing with me? There's another. Someone else like to pray that prayer believing? There's another. Someone else you'd like to pray that prayer believing with us this morning? Lift your hand high so I can see it. Someone else. There's another. Thank you, Lord. Someone else like to pray that prayer believing? Anyone else? I'd like to ask everyone, if you're willing, would you lift your hands with us this morning? And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I'd like to invite you to say it with me, everyone. And let's help some people to just receive Jesus this morning by believing on His name. I'll lead, you follow in a nice clear voice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your only Son, Jesus. Thank you for coming. You lived a perfect life for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I'm moving out of my old house. I'm moving away from that old wiring. Make me a new person. Forgive my sins. wash me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and give the Lord a praise. Listen, if you're here this morning and you prayed that prayer for the first time, or perhaps for the first time in a long time, as soon as the service is over, we want to ask you to come quickly to the front. I'm going to be here. Some of our pastors and some of our friends will be here. And we just want to quickly celebrate with you and pray a quick prayer blessing over you. Prayer teams, I need your help this morning. Pastor Nick is on vacation. Pastor Jason is away on vacation. Thank God for Jesus that he's still here and never leaves us. But I could use, Pastor Ruth is out, so I could use your help this morning. But come down and pray that prayer. All right, let's receive communion. If you're a believer in Jesus, we're going to invite you to come to this table. In just a moment, leave your seat, come down, receive a serving of communion. It's just in one little package. Take it back to your seat, and when everyone's been served, we'll receive together. Going to ask those that are waiting on us, would you come to serve us? The word in the New Testament for communion is thanksgiving. So we're going to worship while you come, and I want you to give thanks in your heart for everything Jesus has done. God bless you while you come.